Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm not going to say a verse yet because, you can just wait, I guess, for that. But I had an interesting day. I spent literally all morning and early afternoon in my office just quiet before God, you know, and I was getting absolutely nothing for tonight. And I just had, you know, I've been in positions like that before, and I just figured, well, it's going to be one of those nights you either get it on the way to church, or you get up to the pulpit and God gives you a verse, or you just start preaching and there, Lord, to fill your mouth. But then I received a phone call, and the whole message was laid out, and I'll get to that in a second, and what Lord wanted me to share and spoke to me in that phone call about something that He mentioned to us and that I mentioned to you about in the past. But I want to just make some mention here about our Father. This is the God that we're dealing with, and I want to bring this to your attention. He's the God that in Genesis spoke the world into existence. Amen? He's the God that through His power and His supernatural ability, Isaac was able to be born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. He's the supernatural God who spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Amen? That's what the Word says. He's the supernatural God that parted the Red Sea. Amen. He's the supernatural God that fed the children of Israel with manna from heaven. He's the supernatural God that caused the sun over there in Joshua to not go down for a whole day so that they could win the battle. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the God that caused Samson to defeat the Philistines and give him such powerful strength. He's the God that helped David defeat Goliath. Amen. All these things that I'm talking about are supernatural things about your God. He's the God that fed Elijah with the ravens. He's the God that caused the widow's oil there in 2 Kings to keep flowing and flowing and flowing. Praise God. He's the God that spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. The God that delivered supernaturally Daniel out of the lion's den. Glory to God. He's the God that worked all those miracles through Jesus, right? Just to name a few here, water into wine, taxes paid by fishing. Maybe we ought to take up fishing around April 15th. Amen? Just go fishing around April 15th. He caused the huge catch of fish over there in Luke chapter 5 till the boat started to sink. It was filled with fish. The feeding of the thousands and thousands of people. The numerous times He cast out devils. The miraculous healings He was a part of. The raising people from the dead, glory to God. The healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 3 that led to thousands of people being saved. The signs, wonders, and miracles that we see through the apostles in the New Testament. We have a supernatural God. Amen? He is so supernatural, and I'm so thankful that He's supernatural. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. And I'm just going to read the first two words of that verse. We'll get to the rest of it. But the Bible says, Jesus Christ. Well, don't forget those two words there. Now go to John chapter 5 and verse 19. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Aren't you glad to be in church? Amen. It's so good to be here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, Jesus answered, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for what things soever He does, these also does the Son likewise. Verse 30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And we've always said this, that we can see God in action through the Gospels. I call it the Jesus rule. And what the Jesus rule states is that whatever you see Jesus doing was just a picture of the Father God, right? Because Jesus said, I can only say what I hear. I can only do what my Father's will is. And so whatever Jesus did, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the raising of the dead, the blessing supernaturally of people, that was God's will on the earth. That's who our God is. Amen? A supernatural God. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. We're getting somewhere here. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is the same as the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the same as God. The Holy Ghost the same as Jesus, vice versa, all that, yada, yada. Praise the Lord. So when we see Jesus doing the stuff on the earth, and we see that word Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, we know that that's not just talking about Jesus, it's also talking about the Father. Amen? Now go to Matthew chapter 18. Just flipping around here, playing any, mini, miny, mo in the Bible, I guess. Matthew chapter 18, in verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, talking about Jesus, he said, there I am in the midst of you. Now here's the thing, we got to remember this, that we just established that Jesus is God and God is Jesus. Now they're separate in the sense of Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, yet they're separate, yet they're one. We can't completely grasp that maybe in our natural mind, but just know this, what one does, the other can do too. Amen? They're the same. They do have different abilities and things they carry out and different roles that they play, but they're one. And maybe we'll have to wait to get to heaven to fully understand all that. But here the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered, which we know that every time we come here, that's why we're here, for Him. We're here for His purposes, for His will. And so He's in our midst. Well, who's He? He's God, is in our midst. Well, who's God? God is the God of the Bible, the supernatural God, right? So now go back to Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Praise God. The supernatural God, Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Says Jesus Christ. Now who's that Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God. Amen? Who's God? God is the God of the Bible. All the miracles we said. The parting of the Red Sea. The supernatural feeding. That all those things. Jesus Christ or God. Remember, when is Jesus Christ present in our midst? When there's two or three gathered. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. So we said Jesus is God. God is Jesus. We've established that God is a God of the supernatural. All throughout the Bible, I mean, I just picked some highlights, but all throughout the Bible, we see God manifesting Himself in not a natural way, but a supernatural way. In ways that the natural couldn't be figured out, and the natural couldn't get the job done, but God got involved and made it happen because He's not natural. He's supernatural. That's why we... And so, but here's my point, and this is why you're going to get excited now, because that God, that Jesus that shows up in our midst, that is the supernatural God, it says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever, praise God. That's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, is that the God of the Bible that we read, that when the natural rose up and there was no possible way and there was no way to figure it out naturally, and there was no amount of strength, no amount of money, no amount of doctors, no amount of prescriptions, no amount of natural wisdom that could figure it out or get the job done, our God did it, because He's not natural. He's supernatural. Praise God. And so whatever you're facing here tonight, whatever you're going through in your life, take heart and be comforted in the fact that that same God that was doing those things back then has not lost His way, has not lost a step. He's not, you know, wore out or burned out or gotten old and crippled and can't do it anymore. No, He's the same. The same. The God and the greatest miracle of all, supernatural, was raising Jesus from the dead. From the power of the enemy. That same God still exists today and is with us in our midst. Praise God. He's the God of the supernatural. Now, here's what I want you to see. That supernatural God, twofold tonight. I want it to be so at the forefront of our hearts and minds in this place that we want the supernatural to be a part of this place, not just the natural. There's many churches, and they're like what Paul told to Timothy. He said, they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. They're powerless. God never intended us to be a powerless church or a powerless body of Christ. He intended for us to experience in our church and in our midst the supernatural. Why? Because that's who He is. And He, my kids get to enjoy who I am. And I'll tell you, when they get me alone, you know, I tickle them and I love them and I play with them and I scare them and I sneak up. I have fun. Why? Because I'm fun. So when they get with me, they get to experience what I am. Well, God is supernatural. You're His children. He wants you to experience what Dad's like. Amen? He wants the church to experience it. He wants you to experience it in your life. So I want from tonight, and we're going to set the stage because this is a getting ready service, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by what the Lord spoke to me here in a second. This is a getting ready service, and so we're rounding up the troops here and gathering everybody up, and this is our banner going forward, that we're going to be a supernatural church, not only in this building, but outside of these buildings. We're going to pursue the supernatural. We're going to require the supernatural. We're going to demand the supernatural, and we're not going to be satisfied until we're living a supernatural life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's the flow of God. That's who He is. Hallelujah. The impossible and the supernatural is normal for Him. Amen. It needs to become normal for us. Not normal in the sense that we take it and get repetitive on it and get mundane and just becomes, oh, whatever, ho-hum. No, I mean normal that when we expect it in our services, we expect it in our lives, when we lay hands on people at our jobs, at our family, we expect results. We expect God to show up. We expect God to show up when we pray. We expect God to show up in our money and in our services. Praise God. But if we don't come up onto His level and see it from His level and see that this is normal, this is the flow it's supposed to be, it'll always be like we're grasping at straws. No, it needs to become commonplace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is a getting ready service tonight. Go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. Mark 16 and verse 20. Before you go ahead and hold your place there. Sometimes, you know, I get going and then things pop up in my spirit and we need to just kind of thank God for these little black tassel thingies. They help us get around quicker, right? Hold your place there and go to Psalm 34. We've looked at this verse before. Psalms 34. In verse 8. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, taste and see. That's an experience. That's an experience for yourself. Psalm 34, 8. Taste and see. That's an experience, praise God. He doesn't just say, oh, hear about. Oh, just read about. Oh, just hear somebody else's testimony about that God is good. He says, I want you to taste and see that He is good. Well, what's part of Him and His goodness? His supernatural ability. All those things that I listed about His supernatural characteristics and things that happened in the Bible, all were good things for the people that experienced Him. His goodness is supernatural, praise God. So God wants you to experience. God is an experiencing God, praise the Lord. Now go to Mark 16 and verse 20. Mark 16 and verse 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Amen? Amen. Confirming the word. Now, what is the word? The word is the power unto salvation. The word is our help. What's better than the word? I mean, the word is where we got our help. The word is where we got our revelation of who God is, of how to be saved. The word is what breaks the chains, praise God. The word has the anointing in it. The word, if you know the truth, the Bible said, and that truth is the word, you'll be set free. The word has the power to break people's chains off them. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What they don't know about the word will keep them bound. But what you do know can bust you free, praise God. The word can heal. He said He sent His word and healed them. Amen. Hallelujah. The word can drive back the devil. Take with you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He said that to drive back the devil with that sword. Praise the Lord. So that word is important. And He said, I want to confirm the word. God needs people to know that His Word is the law of the land. That His Word is the way to go. I remember one time, this is where, you know how much easier it would be to witness to sinners if we had signs confirming the Word? He said, confirming the Word, which means making it so the Word becomes legit to people. So that the Word, so this becomes something, not just another book like the Quran. Not just like some old historical artifact that people say, oh, that's just, no. The signs following will confirm that this thing is real. And then when you tell people about Jesus or try to get them to church, when you have the Word, they cannot deny signs and wonders. They can't deny it, praise God. They can't deny signs, wonders, and miracles. Just can't. They can't deny that. But I remember one time, I don't recommend this. I don't watch this show. My family will vouch for me. I don't. But I did see this episode. And I don't remember even how I came across it. I have to believe that it was supernatural that I even came across it, because I've been able to, I learned so much from it and have been able to share it. I was watching a show one time called Wife Swap. I've told this story before. You say, what in the world's my pastor watching? Well, Wife Swap, if you know, it was on primetime television. I think it used to be on ABC. And it sounds a whole lot worse than it actually was, trust me. And basically, they'd take a family that were, you know, polar opposites, you know. Maybe one would be vegetarian and one would be all meat eaters, you know. Or one would be religious and one would not be. Or one would be whatever and one would not be. You know, one's big on pollution, one's not. One's all green or whatever. You know, they just get polar opposites. And then they'd take the moms out of the homes or the wives out of the homes and they'd put them with the other family for a week. And it would just cause this drama. It would cause this strife and just all this chaos, you know. And I don't even know if it's still going. But anyways, I was watching this episode and there was a woman who was a Christian woman. And they put her in a family with a dad and you know, nothing inappropriate like that happens. You know, they sleep in their own beds and things like that. But just they spend time, you know, with the family throughout the week, and it just causes all this drama. And she was a Christian, and the other family, you know, they really didn't know what to believe in, didn't have anything really that they were standing in faith, you know. They kind of took the natural, logical mind that some people would have and questions that they would have of basically what makes Christianity right and why is Jesus more right than Muhammad? Why is Jesus more right than Buddha? Why is Jesus more right than so-and-so? And I'll tell you what, the sinner has, that's a good question for the sinner to ask. Yeah. What's the difference, right? And the way she was coming at him, you know, her intentions were right, but man, the way she went about it was wrong. She was basically preaching to this family, you know, I'm saved by Jesus, I'm going to heaven, and if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in hell. I mean, she just gave it to him, right? Just laid the lumber hard, no sweetness, no graciousness at all. And then they had those questions. Well, why should we accept that? Muhammad has said that his way is the right way. Buddha says his way is the right way. This group says this way is the right way, and you're saying your way is the right way. And she just kept, you better accept it. Oh, you're going to regret it someday. And I thought to myself as I was watching that and had some things come up out of my heart, this is the problem with why the Christian doesn't reach the sinner. We go after the sinner all the wrong way. Why should the sinner believe our word when God never said, I want the word to be confirmed in word only? God said, that's not how the word's going to be confirmed. He said, I will confirm the word or make it so that the sinner or people know that this is the way. See, we know it's the way. We know this is the way to salvation. We know it's the way to health. We know it's the way to peace of mind. We know it's the way to prosperity, supernatural protection, and the blessings of God and the plan of God. We know that, but the sinner doesn't know that. We need the sinner to look at the Bible. We do things with our money because this book says to. We raise our children a certain way because the book says so, right? We go to church and do things because the book says so. We believe it's real. It's been confirmed to us. We know it. We know it's real. But the sinner doesn't know it's real. And to just tell him you're going to go to hell and try to reach him that way, we're not even going about it the way Jesus intended us for us to go about it. He said, I'll confirm the word. I'll let the sinner know it's legit with the signs that follow. And when the signs follow and you give me credit for it, the word will be confirmed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You remember over there in Acts chapter 4, We don't need to turn there. Actually, yeah, we do. Go to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Got some good news coming up here, don't you worry. Oh, I mean, it's already been good news. It's the Word, so praise the Lord. Let's see here. I want to find something here before I go here. Scribble out your notes and go to Acts chapter 3. I just like to mess your notes up, you know, keep you guessing. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It said, "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So he was lame since he came out of his mama as a little baby boy. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked about alms, and Peter, fasting his eyes upon them, said, 'Look at us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Peter said, 'Silver and gold I don't have any, but such as I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood up and walked, and entered into the with them into the temple." Now notice this: walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, there's no doubt that people around that area had seen that man every day, seen that man weekly, seen that man monthly. They knew who he was. Now he's leaping, jumping, praising God. Amen? Amen. He's excited. Hallelujah. And it says here in verse 9, "All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered." Now, I don't have time to look at all this, but you can look at it on your own time. Peter went into a sermon. Peter now did what that woman was doing on Wife Swap. He starts preaching the gospel and saying, "This is why this happened." But Peter did something different. He did it God's way. He let the signs and the wonders confirm the word. And 5,000 people got born again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Aren't you thankful? Oh, praise the Lord. Verse chapter 4 and verse 4. "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word." Why did they hear the word, and why were they intent on listening to the word? Because they just saw something that defied the natural. Something that Muhammad can never do. Something that Buddha can never do. Amen? They saw something supernatural, and it caused them to be filled with wonder. And it says, "And the number," and many of them heard the word and believed, "and the number of them," of the men, it doesn't even talk about the women and the children, who knows how many thousands, "were 5,000 people born again because of one miracle, sign, and wonder." Hallelujah. We want, ladies and gentlemen, the supernatural around here. This came up in my spirit. You remember as a kid, you know, you get it in a Cracker Jack box or something. I don't know, maybe a cereal box, but you get these you know, spy things or whatever, and you can't see what's on it, but they give you a special pen. And you write on it, and then something starts to manifest. You know what signs, wonders, and miracles are? They're the God decoder. They're the God decoder. When signs and wonders start happening, the real God starts to manifest in people's midst. They start to see who God really is. They start to want what God really has. Jesus then becomes real to them. Amen? Because the devil is fighting Christianity so hard. He's telling people that Muhammad's just as good as Jesus. Buddha is just as good as Jesus. And I'll tell you what, there's millions and millions of people that are in for a sad reality someday that have been hoodwinked and tricked by that. But Jesus, the Bible says, is the only way. Amen? That's what your Jesus says, that I'm the only way to God. Praise the Lord. So we want supernatural. Why? The supernatural will turn people onto God. Not only if the supernatural is working, will it absolutely affect our lives and bless our lives and our surrounding, but it'll affect our community. Amen. I have a strong desire for this area to be born again and for such revival to break out of hearts just turning to God, supernatural. People that, you know, you'd look over during worship and they're just filled with tears and their hands raised and you can't believe that what you're seeing, because I'd never believe that that person would have done it. That's the kind of stuff I want around here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the devil fights, you know, in this town, which is crazy. We've hardly had anybody from South Dayton come to this church in 7 years. Hardly anybody from the town of South Dayton, which has a population of about 600 and some people, has come to this church. You know, we had one lady that's faithful here now and comes here, and she said, you know, she had come from one of the other churches. She said the word on the street from everybody else is that this is the cult church. I just got word yesterday, and I won't say who it is. It's someone that used to go here, doesn't anymore, a prominent member in the community, going around telling people that I say that if you don't pray in tongues, you'll go to hell. When did I ever say that? That ain't biblical. You don't have to be filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues to go to heaven. I've never said that, praise the Lord. Same person telling people that I forced them to pray in tongues. Well, I don't know how I could force you. I can't grab your voice box. I can't grab your tongue. I can't force not. But that's this kind of stuff, that we're a cult, that kind of stuff is going out there. And so now you kind of see, well, no wonder. No wonder people have been skeptical to come here. When people that have some sort of prominence in the community and some right here in South Dayton, I'm talking right here in South Dayton, not the surrounding communities, right here in town are saying that, well, you know, a small town, news travels fast. Yeah. Amen. And that's the church that says you got to speak in tongues to go to heaven. That's the cult church down there. That's what they're saying about us. Well, I'll tell you what, one thing that'll shatter all those things is when people start getting out of wheelchairs, people start seeing, people start hearing, the lame start walking, and you know, the drug addicts and the alcoholics get freed, and they're worshiping God, and their lives change. That'll teach them. That'll show them, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want the supernatural, praise God. The supernatural will turn people onto God. Remember my first experience with the supernatural? I've told this many times. I guess I should say it this way. The first experience that I knowingly knew that it was God. It was January 10th of 2002. I got born again, went to Fredonia. Pastor Michael was my pastor. Was there for about 4 or 5 months. And the Reverends Kevin and Annie Durant came into town. And they'll be Pastor Michael's church in October. And I told you that we might get them for a few services as well. And they came in the springtime. And it was the first guest minister meeting I'd been to, you know, a believer's meeting, as the Bible calls them, where different things happen in believer's meetings than they do on a Sunday morning. More hands being laid on people. You hear people praying in tongues. You see people falling out. You just see things you don't normally see always on a Sunday morning. And that messed with my little pea brain. You know, I didn't know everything. But one thing I was thankful for is that I was smart enough to know that I didn't know everything. Amen. You are a wise person when you realize I don't know everything. And something might come across my plate sometimes, spiritually or with the Word, that makes my mind go on tilt and makes my flesh a little uncomfortable. But if it's in the Word, we go with the Word. Amen. And so I was sitting there in the first, I think there was 4-night meeting, and the third night of the meeting, I'm sitting there and I'm just in my head, you know. What in the world's going on? My flesh was saying this is wrong. My head was saying this is wrong. And they're just putting on a show. And people are just falling down on purpose. And they're just making things up. And they're just, this tongues is just a bunch of, you know, just gibberish, you know, that it doesn't really have anything behind it. That's what was going through my head. But I got out of that service and I went home and I said, Father, I'm struggling. You know I am. And I said, I trust my pastor. In the 5 months or so that I've been here, he's never told me anything apart from the Word. Anytime I've ever had a question, he's gone right back to the Word and explained it. He has not given me any reason not to believe him, and I'm smart enough at least to know that I don't know everything. I said, Father, if this is you, if this is a dimension and an avenue of you, basically what was happening were supernatural things were happening. I said, Father, if this is a dimension of you, I want it. I've just always been somebody that, if it's God, I want it. Amen. Because he's so good. I just want what he wants for me. Amen. And so I said, Lord, if this is you, I want it. If this is you, I want it. And so I got down on my hands and knees before the Lord, just prostrate before him. And I said, Father, I said, I love you so much. I said, if this is you, I want it. And for the next 30 minutes to an hour, all I said out of my mouth, no, I didn't utter anything else, was, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. Just from my heart, you know, just a longing and a desire to know more, to know God more, to experience Him. If this was Him, I wanted my eyes open to it. And so I just said that for about 30 minutes to an hour. And after I just got up and just, Lord, I love you, and went to bed. Went to service the next night. Head was a little clear, but, you know, the thoughts were still there. And I'm sitting in service, and Kevin Durant's preaching, Reverend Kevin. And he's preaching, and I'm sitting towards the half or three-fourths of the way back in the old Fredonia Church on Lakeview there. And he stops his preaching. And if you know Kevin Durant, he's a fireball. My goodness. I mean, he just went from screaming to a dead halt. And he walked down the aisle, and he walked to me, and he pointed at me. And I was hoping like heck he wasn't pointing at me, but he was pointing at me. And he said, stand out in the aisle. I thought, me? Yes, yeah, stand out in the aisle. And he pointed at me, and he said, you want more of God, don't you? Now, the night before, all I said for about 30 minutes to an hour was, I want more of you. And now the guy that stands in the office of the prophet that operates in the prophetic says to me, you want more of God out of a church of a couple hundred people while he's preaching. We're not talking about a prayer line. Now, either he heard from God or he was a peeping Tom. And I'm just guessing he didn't know where I live and didn't care about peeping on my prayer time with God. I'm guessing he heard from heaven. And so that was supernatural in itself. And here's what was even more supernatural. I actually raised my hands in church in front of people. I said this because I just was so moved. He said, you want more of God, don't you? I said, yes, I do. And I closed my eyes. And the next thing I knew, I flew in the air back into the usher's hands, flew back off my feet. I'm literally telling you, went off the ground into the usher's arms, and they laid me on the ground. And I felt glued to that ground. And I'm always been, you know, just kind of very self-conscious, not very, you know, just always taking thoughts about myself. And so I'm the last one that's going to lay on the floor in front of people. But I just laid there, and he went back to, blah, 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 blah. You know, he just stepped on the gas and went, put the pedal to the metal and started going fast again. I just laid there basking in the glory of what had happened to me and just praising God under that. And I was sitting next to Reverend Randy and Pastor Tim. This was before Pastor Tim was Pastor Tim. And I said, my goodness, because what it felt like was that I got hit with the force of a baseball bat without the pain. There was no pain, but that's what it felt like when it hit me. And I said, how hard did he hit me? Because I flew back and they started laughing. They said, he didn't get within 2 feet of you. He came over and said, be blessed to me, never even touched me, and the power of God hit me. I didn't fake falling down. I didn't fake jumping into somebody's arms. I didn't want that to happen to me that night. But God, I said, God, I want more of you. He said, here it comes, son. Get ready. Get ready. And what that did for me, though, was it marked me. It marked me to know that, hey, the religion I grew up in and the Jesus that I grew up knowing, there's way more to Him than I've been told. There's an avenue and a dimension of Him that is supernatural, and I've always been just given. Now, there was some supernatural in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's supernatural. But that's where the supernatural stopped, where I grew up. Nothing about praying in tongues. Nothing about healing. Nothing about miracle signs and wonders. Yeah, that was in the Bible, but that wasn't surely for us. But yet, what do they say about Hebrews 13 and 8, that He's the same, the same. God can't all of a sudden turn off His miracle ability. Jesus just can't all of a sudden turn it off. Why? He's the same. He's the same then as He is now, and He will be tomorrow. Praise God. And it marked me. I remember I was in Canton, Ohio. Again, before I was in the ministry, before Pastor Tim was in the ministry. Went to a conference with Pastor Michael. Reverend Randy was with me, Pastor Tim, Pastor Michael, and we were sitting there, and Pastor Michael was towards the front. He got moved up supernaturally, his connection with Dr. Dufresne. He has always just stood out. And we were sitting in this auditorium of probably 400 to 500 people, just mixed in, you know, out in the middle. Dr. Dufresne stops preaching in the middle of 400 to 500 people. There might have been more, but I know there's at least that many. Walks over to me and Pastor Tim, who are sitting way in the back. Walks over to me and Pastor Tim, gets his hands out, smacks both of us on the head, knocks us out of the seat, and he goes, now preach the word. Now preach the word. How would he know? Two pastors sitting there, didn't know us from anybody. The supernatural. And that marked me again. And I've been hungry and desiring the supernatural. Why? I got a taste of it. Amen. I got a taste that there's more than just this natural God, and we get to just read about everybody else experiencing it. No, we can have the supernatural in our lives. Amen? So this is a get ready service, praise God. Why am I saying this? Well, because the Spirit of God told me to preach this tonight and told me that this is a get ready service for our visitation. I told you that the Durants, they're the ones that had that first encounter with. I told you they're coming to Fredonia that we might get them. Well, today I'm sitting in my office. I'm waiting. Lord, drop something in there. There's got to be something you want me to say tonight. I mean, my goodness, I don't want to just get up there and not have anything, but I trust you enough that if you don't, I'll get it or when I get here. And so that's what I was going in. Got a phone call from Kevin Durant. We were talking about it. And he starts talking about their ministry, and I had talked to Pastor Michael a little bit about it and the changes that were made in their ministry. And I was at a service in Fredonia years ago when Annie Durant kind of had her coming out party into what she was going to minister. And the Lord laid things on Pastor Michael's heart to kind of lay hands on her and to ordain her for her neck, not ordain in the ministry, but kind of, you know, mark her in a sense spiritually of this is where you're going. And, you know, she was close with Brother Hagin. She did a lot for Brother Hagin, real close on the Rhema Singers and Bands. And she's got a strong miracle signs and wonders anointing and, you know, ministry that she operates from. And so I'd been hearing about this and more things that were happening. And Pastor Michael told me some things. They had a service last year on a Sunday night after their Christmas service that signs, wonders, and miracles. People got healed and miracles happened. And he was telling me some of the things that had been happening in their services and how she stepped into this and how even Pastor Michael last year ministered to her and saw some more things on her life and how they're starting to see just crazy things happen that cannot be explained in the natural in all their services. So we got to talking and he said, Pastor, I know that we talked about coming on a Wednesday night and possibly a Sunday morning. I said, boy, if you do that, I'd love to have you. You know, they were here and ministered in our old building. Back when we had the old sanctuary there, we had a time of heaven on earth. But now they've stepped up even further anointing. And so I said, I'd love to have you here. And then I said, well, I'd like to bring you to Olean on Saturday night if you could. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And he said, what about a Sunday night in South Dayton too? I said, let's do it, praise God. So we're getting the Durants who are operating. They're saying, they said, these testimonies are not happening in Africa and China. He said, they're happening in Indiana, in Kentucky, in New York, in Pennsylvania. Miracle signs and wonders. And he said this. Now, I already had in my heart, Pastor Michael had texted me a few days ago saying the Durants are going to be in town. Do you want them for Wednesday and your weekend services? And I said, I'll get back to you on it. And immediately I had a green light in my spirit. I said, yes, I want them because God's got something for us. Amen? God's got something for us. He told me, he said, I have been telling pastors, and it's never, we're batting 1,000% when I've told them this, get ready when we come, there will be signs, wonders, and miracles that will operate in the midst. Because that's the anointing, the mandate that's on their life, and that's the flow of God. Yes. Amen. Now, here's the thing that was exciting to me, and again, we're going to tell you how to get ready for this. Remember when Reverend Joel Siegel called me out in a Pastor Nancy meeting in Jamestown. And he said that you're going to be known as Miracle Mike, right? We know that, and that signs, wonders, and miracles are going to flow. We talked about those things. And we've seen them to a measure, but not to the full extent that we're going to see them. Praise God. But and remember how the Lord, as on a Wednesday night in my office, I was praying and seeking God, and he said we were going to have a healing crusade type thing here. Amen. He never gave me a date and time, but he told me how to tell the people to start praying, tell the people to start believing for it, tell the people to get ready for these things. And we have, right? We get giving you the papers to start praying for signs, wonders, and miracles, things like that we're getting ready for. But the Spirit of God, as I was talking to him today and told me that this is a getting ready service, he said these meetings are tied to what he told me about the healing crusade. I don't know exactly how it's tied, but the Lord says it's tied to that. Amen? Now, whatever that means, I don't know, but we better be ready when our visitation comes walking through the doors. Hallelujah. Because we have a part to play. Because remember, Brother Hagin would say he'd go to one church and he'd have 8 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation. He'd go to the next church, not change what he's eating, not change how he's praying, not change how he's spending time with God, not change anything, and there'd be nothing happening. And he got frustrated and said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And the Lord said, you're not doing anything wrong. You have a different audience. One audience was hungry and crying out for these things, and one audience wasn't. Amen. We know that the Bible talks about hungering and thirsting after the things of God. We know in Mark chapter 6, Jesus just came from raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, healing the woman with the issue of blood, and then he goes over to Mark chapter 6 and he can't do any mighty miracle. Well, did God change? No. Did Jesus change? No. But the audience did. Well, what kind of a church are we going to be? Because I'm telling you, I'm going to be a pastor that's going to contend for the supernatural. I'm not going to have some dull, dry, church that's not going to be... Dr. Dufresne had a vision once about what the latter day church would look like. He said there'd be two types of churches. He said one of the churches, he saw a vision. They were sitting in the bed of the stream there, and there was no water. It was all dust, and they were in a boat. And they were rowing, and it was hard and hard. And dust was just being kicked up. And then they saw the dust, and they thought, oh, this is the glory. Oh, this is the glory. Oh, this is the glory. And they thought that they were hitting the mark, and they were missing the mark. He said, but then he saw a vision of people in a stream, a flowing stream. And as they rowed, the gifts of the Spirit, the words would come up, gifts of healings, working of miracles. He said, there's going to be two types of church. There's going to be a word and spirit church, and there's going to be a flesh and a carnal church. And the flesh and the carnal church, they're going to jump around. They'll sing their worldly Christian songs. You know there's worldly Christian songs, right? That just cater to the flesh. That are not spiritual in nature. They'll jump around. They'll have their smoke machines in church. They'll have their things. They won't have any power of the word. And they'll think they're absolutely hitting the mark. But the mark that needs to be hit is the book of Acts. That's the mark that the church was built upon. Where the gifts of the Spirit flowed. Where healing, signs, wonders, and miracles were commonplace. That's what we're looking for. We want to affect and infect this community. That's what we need, the power of God. But if we're going to do it, we need to be the church that sets the stage and the atmosphere for that when people... Brother Hagin had an anointing on his life. Jesus had an anointing on his life. The Durants have an anointing on their life. But if they go to the wrong place that's not prepared and not ready... those gifts will go to waste. What did they miss out on in Mark chapter 6? They had healing miracles, signs and wonders was in that man's ability. In that man's anointing. Raising people from the dead was in that man's anointing. Casting out devils was in that man's anointing. And they missed it all. All the churches that experienced the anointing that Brother Hagin had on his life. And he'd go to places and some wouldn't get anything. Well, when the Durants come here. And I texted Reverend Kevin tonight before we came. I said, I literally sat in my office all day and didn't get anything until after our phone call. And the Spirit of God spoke to me that this is a get ready for our visitation service because this is the first time I found out about it and I'm going to let you know about it so we can start getting ready right now. Amen. And I said, I assure you, this church will be ready for signs, wonders, and miracles. And we will see signs, wonders, and miracles. But we have a part to play, praise God. Now, are you ready to find out what your get ready is? It won't take long and we'll close it up here. This is what you can do to get ready. Number one, mark these dates on your calendar and don't you dare miss a service. I mean, don't you dare. If we're going to bring these people into our home, the family ought to at least be here to welcome them. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm serious. I want us to be a church that the majority, if not every single one of our people, heed these things and come out. The Bible says you'll never be perfected without the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. I can get you to a point, but the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, they can help take you even further and fill in the things that I can't. Amen? So if you want to be perfected, which will help the body of Christ, will help your life, you will take these meetings seriously because they are people that stand in different offices than your pastor, and they are going to be our first set of guest minister meetings in our new building. Praise God. Hallelujah. So mark these dates down and don't you miss them. October 25th is a Wednesday they'll be here. Now, if you can come out to Olean on the 28th, we'd love to have you. That's a Saturday night. That'll be Wednesday night, our normal Wednesday night service, October 25th, Saturday night, the 28th in Olean. And I won't hold you to the fire as much as the Olean one, but I'll hold them to the fire on that one. Amen. But if you want to come out, we'd love to have you. And then October 29th is a Sunday. We're going to have them in here Sunday morning and then Sunday night at 6 p.m. Praise God. So we're going to have three services with people who have an anointing on their life of signs, wonders, and miracles. So if you need a miracle, start believing. If you know people that need a miracle, start inviting. Amen. Now, one thing that I knew about the healing crusade that we were going to have was the Lord did speak to my heart that before He gives me a date and time, we need to be ready. Maybe, just maybe, this will be our proving ground. Who's actually going to invite people? Who's actually going to show up? Who's actually going to be hungry? Is the church actually... Because, listen, if we have a healing crusade and nobody's doing anything and nobody's showing up and nobody's been praying and nobody's being faithful, it's going to flop and nobody's going to get healed. Right, right. Amen. Just think, those people in Mark chapter 6 could have said, this God stuff's no good. We heard about it over there with the woman with the issue of blood, but it ain't real. Yet Jesus couldn't do anything about it. It doesn't matter that I want to have a healing crusade. It doesn't matter that the Durants want to come in here or God gave me the green light for having them to come in here. It doesn't matter. If we don't do our part, it won't matter. And maybe, I don't know for sure, I don't have a check when I say it, maybe this is our chance to prove that we're worthy to have a bigger healing crusade. But let's invite people. So mark it down on your calendar and don't miss it. And I do want to make mention of this. Of course, we're going to need people to serve, but I'm going to set it up and talk to Courtney and Mary Jo and Jeff about people that serve out in the halls and the nursery and children's church. That the max that people will miss that weekend in those three services is one service that people will miss, the max. And the good news is they'll be in the Fredonia Church Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And then you'll get them again Wednesday here and Saturday night and Sunday. So there's plenty of services and opportunities to go to, but in your own church, the max that you'll have to miss a service to serve, if at all, because I'm sure some people won't miss some, but if your name comes up, you go in there and you serve with all your heart. Amen? And you have the attitude that I'm going to get what I need when I'm in the service, and if I don't, then I'll get called out of the nursery to come get whatever I need. Amen? That's what faith would do, because we still need people to serve. So mark that on your calendar and don't miss it. The second thing we need to do to get ready is, and maybe it's a little far out, and maybe the church can help, I'm going to seek God about special invites, is to be inviting people. This is an opportunity. And the Durants have such a sweet and wonderful way of ministering. Sister Annie is one of the sweetest human beings on the planet. And what I mean by that is she's got such a way that when she preaches, it just kind of sucks you in. It's just, I don't even know how to really explain it. You'll know as soon as she opens her mouth to sing. They have a wonderful music ministry. He plays the trumpet. He's phenomenal at it. She sings. I mean, it sounds like an angel singing. Praise God. And it's just a place where if you brought people that aren't church people and people that aren't maybe so comfortable with it, they'll be such a welcoming ministry to have in. And so be thinking about it, because we're talking about people that have an anointing to break things off of people. Amen? So be inviting people. Third thing to get ready, start saving your money to sow your money. We talked about honor, right? That when the Bible says, they that preach the word unto us, we ought to give unto them out of our own thing. And I've told you, when guest ministers come in, I start saving my money. Why? I want to honor that gift. Honor financially given to ministers is one way that we can honor them. Amen? Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. And so one way we can honor them and show them that we appreciate them is to send them out of here blessed with a good offering. Amen? So number one, mark it on your calendar. Don't miss. Number two, invite people. Number three, save money to be able to sow money. And number four, pray, 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 pray. Amen? What do I mean by pray? Cry out to God for these meetings. I mean, remember over there in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said they were all together praying and they said, Father, stretch forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. They were crying out to God for signs, wonders, and miracles. What were they doing? They were showing God they were hungry. They were showing God that's a place your power can flow. They were zealous. The Bible talks about the Corinthians. They were a little goofy over there and they were out of order, but they had spiritual gifts operating in their church. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it's over in verse 12, that they were zealous for spiritual gifts. They did what the Bible said. They coveted, they craved, and they desired the gifts of the Spirit. So be crying out to God, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Gifts of the Spirit in operation, Father God. We crave these things. We desire. Let God know. Amen? Amen. Remember the example of my children? When they mention that they want something one time, it goes in my ear, not the other. Why? Because if I paid heed to every time they said they wanted something, I'd be broke. Because they always say they want something. But if the second time, the third time, the fourth time, they see something and they talk about it on the ride home and they talk about it at night and the first thing they talk about when they wake up and they're constantly hampering me on it and stuff, I know it's something they really desire. And because they really desire. And see, it's not that God's sitting back saying, oh, come on, stroke my ego. No, he has to go by his word. God is always instructed to go where hunger takes him. He's only obligated to the hungry and the ones that are in faith by his word. So it's not like God said, oh, I want to hear more. I want to see more praying. Come on, put your time in. No, he said, I need to see hunger so I can be unleashed on that place. Amen? You don't think God wanted to do something in Mark chapter 6? Of course he did. You don't think God wanted to do something in those churches that Brother Hagin had nothing happen in? Of course God did. But God couldn't because the hunger didn't permit him to. I should say the lack of hunger forced him to stay away. So pray, pray, pray. The other way you can pray for those meetings, not only crying out for the gifts of Spirit and signs, wonders, and miracles, is to pray in tongues for the meetings. What does that mean? Father, Holy Spirit, I've prayed the best I know how naturally for these meetings. Now, Holy Ghost, help me to pray the perfect will of God for these meetings coming up. And just take off 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, praying in tongues. And the Bible says that we pray in tongues, and when we make prayer, power's made available. Let's make it so there's a whole lot of power stored up for those meetings. So when we bring the sick in, we bring the hurting in, with things that you've been facing that just have not seemed to break, there's so much power in this place that the supernatural's just popping like popcorn in here. Amen? Let's make this a destination of the supernatural. Let's be one of those churches that they talk about down the road. Hey, over there in Pastor Mike's church in South Dayton, the gifts of the Spirit were popping like crazy. We went down the road to some other church, weren't getting anything. Let's be the one that's positive. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you tonight. We praise you tonight. We're ready, Father. We're going to show you that we're worthy of this, that we're worthy of these gifts. Now, Father, we honor these ministry gifts. You've given. Now, Lord, we know it's always because of you. But, Father, you work through people. And you work through human vessels. So we honor those that are in our midst. Father, they have a ministry full of integrity, character, signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, we want that in this place. And, Lord, if you said that those meetings are tied to what you have for us in the future, we'll take it. And, Father, we'll be as faithful as we know how to set the stage, to prepare the atmosphere for the supernatural. And Father, from this point forward in our own personal lives, we're not going to be satisfied until the supernatural becomes commonplace. We're going to start reading the stories of your miracles, signs and wonders, getting our faith to a level of expectation that it's never been before. Father, we desire, let's just cry out to him right now. We hunger after you, Father. We hunger after you. We want you, and what you are is supernatural. What you are is miracles, signs, and wonders. We want you, Father God. We don't want to be a dead church. We don't want to be a dried up church. We want to be a church where these things flow, where the gifts of the Spirit are commonplace. So, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs, wonders, and miracles would be done in our midst. Father, we thank you not only in our personal lives, but in our services and in these guest minister meetings that are coming up. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd see your goodness, that we would experience your goodness. Father, we ask you for the gifts of the Spirit. We crave for them. Why? Because you said when the Spirit is manifested, people profit. And Lord, we want people to profit. We want people to be better. We want people to be helped, Lord. And your gifts of the Spirit, when you manifest that way, it helps people. So Lord, we crave for them. We covet them, Father. We desire the gifts and the moving of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we thank you that it will come to pass. We thank you. We're going to see an uptick in these things. We're going to see an increase in these things. And Father, we thank you that those meetings are going to sound the alarm. They're going to sound the alarm in this place. And we're going to get on it. And we're going to bring people. We're going to bring the hurting. We're going to step out and tell the people that have been told it's impossible. We're going to step out and tell the people that have been told there's no way. Hey, I found a way for you. I found a way for you. Praise God. And they're going to come, Lord. And they're going to get a healing and a miracle touch from you. And this area, this community, our friends, our families will never be the same. We fully expect this to happen. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I know that everybody in this room right now is born again. But there might be somebody listening by live stream or listening on the archives in the future that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's how you get to heaven. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you begin to experience this wonderful Father that I've been bragging on all night long. The Bible says it's simple to be accepted by God. You don't need to jump through religious hoops. You don't need to do religious cartwheels and backflips. It's not about your church attendance or how much money you've given or not given. It's about what you do with Jesus. If you're listening to my voice and you can say, I've never accepted the Lord. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get there, how to accept the Lord. It's so simple. It's so free. If you believe in Jesus, that's the first qualification. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the first qualification. The second qualification is to receive him into your heart. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, and you want to invite him into your heart, you're a candidate for heaven. And I encourage you, if you've never done it before, and you believe in him and want him into your life, to cry out to him. To just simply say, Lord, I do believe in you. I do believe you died and rose again. And I do believe, Father, that you rose from the dead and that I want to accept you into my heart to become your child. I believe that and I want that in Jesus' name. If you prayed that, and if you pray that in the future, let us know. Give us an email. Give us a phone call. Let us know. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Let's just worship him one last time for what we've got, what is to come. Yeah. Those of you, this is a word from heaven right now. Those of you that are facing things that are impossible. You need to start pacing your floors and start crying out to the God of the supernatural. Start going back over the stories of how he parted the Red Sea. I remember, you can look up here, I remember when we were getting this building. Over there in the storefront before, and when I was told I was going to pastor in South Dayton, and I went driving through here, I said, Lord, you must not have been to South Dayton. There's no place for a church. There's no place to have church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, are you ready for a good story? I'll tell you two things. Number one, Pastor Michael said he had a vision years and years ago that South Dayton would be a door ineffectual for the things of God. That an opportunity for kingdom things to happen would come from little old South Dayton. He said he didn't know who the pastor would be, but he knew that South Dayton, and he always questioned that. Why South Dayton? But the Lord said, no, it's a great, that's what he said. The Lord told him, a great door ineffectual. I had somebody not too long ago. You want to hear about a vision person in our church had? They've told me not to reveal their name, and so I won't, unless they tell me I can. They told me about a vision they had, and this was back in the 70s, and I'll be more specific of the date here in a second. Back in the 70s, they had a vision of this building here, and they saw people coming in and out of the doors, and it was a church. They saw it back in the 70s. Well, when they saw it back in the 70s, it was January of 1979. I was born January 1979, January 6th, and a faithful member of our church in January of 1979 saw this building, saw that it would be a church, and saw people coming in and out of the doors. Praise God. God has marked this area way back 38 years ago. It's time for us to start manifesting what God has for this place. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I remember coming through here, and I didn't know all that. And Pastor Michael didn't know that a great door and effectual. I just knew that the Holy Ghost told me in September of 2010 I'd start a church in this town. And I drove through here and I said, Lord, you've got it wrong. I know you didn't mean South Dayton. Maybe you meant South Carolina or somewhere bigger. Maybe that's what you meant. Or for me as a hunter, you must have meant South Dakota. I'll take that, Lord, not South Dayton. There's no place to even have church. And so I had it in my heart that we were supposed to be here. And the thoughts started coming. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. And I started, this is what I started doing when I faced the impossible. And this is what the Lord just told me to tell you about when you're facing the impossible. You need to go back and read the stories and put it in your heart. And I said this, I said, Lord, if you parted the Red Sea, you'll surely give us a building in South Dayton. If you parted the Red Sea, you'll surely give us a building in South Dayton. Praise God. And God had His hand on this 38 years ago and showed someone faithful in our church that this building that was not even anywhere near thinking about being a building would be a church. And it came to pass. And the great door of effectual that the prophet down there, you see, Pastor Michael might be a pastor, but his greatest anointing is the apostle and the prophetic. The prophet of God saw that this place was a great door in effectual. And we get to be a part of it. Praise God. We already started a church in the biggest city in Cattaraugus County. You guys did that. Your faithfulness, your prayers, your giving. What does God want to do here? Woo! Get on the glory train, ladies and gentlemen. But if you're facing something, this is a word for you individually. Impossible. Start saying, Lord, if you parted the Red Sea, you'll do this for me. If you caused the lion's mouths to be tamed, you'll do it for me. If you caused the furnace to not singe a hair on their body, you'll do it for me. If you caused the sun to stand still, you'll certainly do it for me because I'm your child. And there's nothing, nothing and no length you wouldn't go to for me. He already gave you Jesus and proved it. But you need to raise your level that goes beyond what the natural is telling you to where you absolutely aren't concerned that it's impossible. When God sees something impossible, He's not concerned with it because He is the God of the impossible. You need to become the Christian of the impossible. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for what we've received. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed.